Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union. Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, Perek Kuf Dalid, Chapter 104. This is Rabbi Binny Marilis. 104, the Kuf Dalid is well known to us as the special Shir Shel Yom, the daily song, right? The daily prayer for Rosh Chodesh, Barchi Nafshi. It's the second of the Barchi Nafshis, but perhaps to most of us, the more famous of the two, wherein David HaMelech describes the beauty and the exalted wonder of the creation, of Hashem's creation. In it, one will find all of the elements that are described in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis and Parshas Bereishis, of the different days and the different things that are described. While David HaMelech doesn't necessarily keep to the exact order of the Bria, I'm not sure that's his intent. Perhaps better to understand it is the flow and the sequence of the use of the different creations and how they all sort of intermingle and intertwine and connect. The notion of the creation of mountains and not independent of the animals that live there, but in relationship to the animals that live there, and understanding that as a more beautiful creation, understanding the limits of the sea in terms of beaches and how that is a gvul, how that becomes a border for the waters, but at the same time understanding the great depths of the waters and the animals and the creatures that live in the depths of the water, the fish, the different varieties of fish. And even though they're created on different days, and the animals of the earth and the birds of the sky are created on different days than the physical structures wherein they live, the greater beauty, perhaps for us, and the more exalted song is in seeing them all working in harmony, and therefore understanding the great chachma that is the creation in its own right. And perhaps that's what David HaMelech is talking about, and that's what he can describe only as a barchi nafshi, in the sense that the full soul, which is chelek Eloka mimal, which is part of God, can appreciate in its fullness, to the best of its abilities. And then only hoping in the end of the day that when yitamu chatai min ha'aretz, when the Rishayim odeinam, when they're no longer evil individuals in the world who are intent on perhaps destroying the world, who are intent on clouding the creator in terms of the world, and sort of making a sense of ambiguity amongst the creations and the creator and amongst the mind, in the minds of people, then Barchi Nafshi, that's what the beauty of the song is. There was a lot of great, wondrous detail in this chapter. Unfortunately, we cannot get to all of it, but as I've been doing for the last number of chapters, I implore you to look deeper into the different commentaries, the Radak, certainly, Malbim, certainly as well, who have guided us so beautifully for the last number of chapters. Additionally, to other Mefarshim, to Hirsch, Shimshon Frel Hirsch, in his Perush on Tehillim, and certainly throughout Chazal, the different psukim that are taken from this text that are worthy of deeper meaning and deeper understanding. What we're going to try and do is get through the Perek. It is a little bit longer than the ones we've done to this point. And at the same time, try to highlight some of the locations where different days are mentioned in terms of the Bria, and also highlight some of the images that David HaMelech creates that can be missed by us in a day-to-day lives, but require of us to note them and appreciate them in the creation. Let us begin. So Baruch Inashi Es Adonai. Again, let my soul bless Hashem. Adonai Elohai Gadalti Me'od. God, you are the most great. You are very great. Not just great, but very, very great. It's not a small level of greatness, but a high level of greatness. That is brought into the world. Me'od. Similarly, as you have the language in the creation itself, right? That it's kitov me'od. That God saw what He created and that it was very, very good. That's not just simply that it was like you got like a 92 on the test and that makes it very good. But there's an inherently higher level involved there. Hod v'hadar lavashta, you wear it, right? You're clothed in glory and majesty. That it's not simply, I appreciate it, but then I have to understand that the Brias HaOlam is like the God's majestic clothing, and that it provides a context within which we can begin to see the real greatness of the Creator, of the Borei Olam. So Hod v'hadar lavashta, glory and majesty, you wear. They are your clothing. Ote or kasalma, you cover yourself in the light as if it was a garment. A salma is a garment. Note shamayim kiriya, you stretch the heavens like a curtain, right? They create separation, but they also create coverings, they create clothing, they create, again, a vestment within which we can grasp God. You see there, of course, the connection to or, right? Hod is also, and hadar is also related to a sense of a glory and majesty, but of a light. And then you have ote or kasalma, you wear the light. The light, of course, we know is the first thing, yihi or, the bria, the first thing in the bria, ote or kasalma. That's the first thing. Hamikare b'mayim alilosav, right? He lays out into the world, right? All the upper chambers of the world are essentially aliosav. Mayim aliosav is a sense of the heavens. Hasam avim ruchuvo, hamehalech al kanfe ruach. He makes the clouds his rechev, his chariot. Hamehalech al kanfe ruach. He walks on the wings of the wind. It's a beautiful image, right? The constant winds of the world. We take the wind for granted. We really do. I don't even think we understand how wind exactly and fully works. There's constant studies in the world by meteorologists and scientists around the globe understanding the winds of the world and how they impact us on a day-to-day basis. So he says, "Hamahalech al kanfei ruach Hashem," that you walk, right? You walk on the wings of the wind. Ose malachav ruchos mishar sav eish lohet. You make the winds, right? The winds, your messengers. The flaming fire, your ministers. Right? What does it mean? Eish lohet. What does that mean? Mishar sav eish lohet. So we have, you have the idea in the text of it being nothing small, right? Rashi says, "Yesh dvarim hamishamshim lashon zachav lashon keva ha'ish yotza me'is Hashem lashon keva." It says, "Eish." Lo hate lashon zachar, that it's not exactly what I was looking for. I thought it was going to be something else here in the Rashi. But the sense here that the fires of the earth are your servants. Yasad eretz al mechoneha baltimoit olam voed. So you have established the earth upon its foundations, mechoneha baltimoit olam voed, that it will never ever be moved, that she'll never falter. That sort of goes maybe perhaps before the idea of the R, is the sense that the physical world is established and ready to be created, right? The sense that the different commentaries point out that when we begin to really understand Brias HaOlam, if we can, and understand the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, it's clear that when there's Yehi Or on day one, that something happens before Yehi Or, that there is a body known as earth prior to Yehi Or. So here it's established physically that there is a world. The home, Kalavush Kisiso, Al Harim Ya'amdu Mayim, in verse 6. You covered it up with the deep, right? The depths of the earth, right? Kalavush Kisiso, that it's a kisoy, that it's a covering, that it's above you, that it's on you, right? The waters, Al Harim Ya'amdu Mayim, right? On the waters stood above the mountains, right? Think about it. The world is created. Everything is underwater, right? The whole body of the earth, the whole physical thing is water. And then the water is split into the heavens, the waters above and the waters below. And then the waters below are then told to retreat, right? And then what do you have? You have land and you have mountains and you have valleys and all these different things, the way the Bria is described for us in Parshas Bereishis. So what you have is you have water essentially above the mountains. And that then is confirmed for us during the Mabul, when you have again the return of water above the heights of the mountains, right? The Torah tells us how high the water goes, and it goes X amount of Amos, right? of measurements above the mountaintops. So you see that that's part of it. Tehom kalavush kisiso. But you've covered the depths, right? You've covered the depths as you would with a garment. Al harim yamdu mayim. That above the mountains, the waters stood. And that could be referring to the heavens above the mountains or actual water, right? Actual water standing above. And thus, in verse 7, when it tells us, min ga'arasecha yinusun, min kor'amcha yichavezun, that when you rebuke them, right, ga'ara, gar, is a sense of an anger, yinusun, they ran, they fled, lanus, right, they fled. We'll see that again in the Pesukim in Hallel. They ran away. When you called out, when you spoke, like thunder, they hastened away, they ran away quickly, yichavezun, right? And what happened? What happens when the waters recede, right? And the waters pull back. Yalu harim yirdu bika'os. El makom ze yasarat alahem. Then the mountains rise, and then the valleys sink down, and then to this place, you have established them, right? Meaning, it pulls back, and therefore you then have mountains and you have valleys. And they're created, and then they've been established in their locations. But that requires that the waters recede. This is all part of the beginning of the Bria Sa'ola. This is day one, day two, right? Gvul samta bal yavorun. Bal yishivun nechasos haaretz. In verse 9, you set up boundaries which you should not pass over. You have boundaries and borders that are put up so that the waters don't come back. We have seen, unfortunately, in our time, where suddenly it appears to us that the waters have decided to take back certain space. When you have these water catastrophes, you have hurricanes, and you have the tsunami, and you saw the video of those events, you saw how suddenly the water no longer desired to be at the boundary point, but rather it desired to be, 100 yards in, a mile in, a half a mile in, and now suddenly you had a new shoreline. But until that point, you had a gvul, and even after that, you have now a new gvul. However that works, and however Kadosh Baruch Hu decides that that's going to be. But understand that. Like, what sets that in motion? How is that established? Why is it that way? And then, keep going. In verse 10, Hamishaleach ma'ayonim banichalim. You have springs in the valleys, right? Who let springs go into the valleys? Bein harim yahaleichun. They run between the mountains, right? You have all of the different bodies of water and the different types of bodies of water. You have springs and you have rivers and you have seas and you have lakes and you have oceans. And they're all different. You have salt water and you have fresh water and you have fish that live in certain kinds of water, not in other kinds of water. There's a chachma, there's real genius in all of it. And often we miss it. Why certain waters have to be in certain places and other waters have to be in other places. Why it is that you have fresh springs. So you have all these waters in all these locations, the great genius that we talk about and what's going on here. And then amazingly, so then the animals themselves and all of the creations that are in those places have what they need. Yud Aleph, Yashku Kochaiso Sadai, all the animals, the beasts of the field, they can drink. Yishburu Firaim Tzima'am, the wild animals. The animals that buck, the animals that don't have owners, the animals that are undomesticated, they also, they're able to quench their thirst. Aleihem of Hashamayim Yishkon. Right? Then you have also in Yud Beis, you have them, you have the birds of the heavens. They can dwell there as well. You can say that that means either that the birds of the heavens can go down there and get food, but the reality is you also have birds that rest, right? That sit on the waters, that move in the waters. You have ducks, you have geese. You have those kinds of birds. You have mibein afo'im itnu kol. From amongst the branches of the trees that grow by the waters, you have them singing their song. So, the beauty that's in the waters and the locations of the waters in the world testifies and is a testimony to the great creation in the earth. Mashkeharim mayali yosav mipri ma'asecha tisbah ha'aret. You water the mountains from up in the higher chambers. Ali Yosav will understand for the sake of, without arguing amongst the different commentaries, talking about the heavenly bodies, talking about the clouds. Miprima asecha, the fruit, right? The earth is full of the fruit of your hand. Right? Again, all of these different things, what's going on here, right? The Radak says, Ki priha ananim hu hageshem. The fruit of the clouds is, the fruit of the clouds is the rain, right? And that is your creation. Go try and make rain yourself. You can't do it. But rather, that is a great creation of Hashem. Matzmiach chatzir lav hema, ve'esav lav odas ha'adam, right? You cause the grasses to spring up for the cattle, right? And the herbs in the land for the sake of the service of man. Lahotzi lechem in the aretz. They bring forth bread out of the earth, right? The waters that you bring down create the ability for animals to feed, for animals then to go and work, and for a person then to go do the work that he needs so that he's able to then produce lechem. V'yayin yisamach levav enosh. Lahatzil panim mishamen. The ability to produce the grapes for the sake of wine, the ability to produce the olives for the sake of oils, v'lechem levav enosh yisad, the person's heart is satisfied by virtue of the ability to create the breads. Right, the staple food of our world is bread. That which brings joy to the person is the bread. That which satisfies the person is the bread. And beyond that, perhaps, is the ability to create the wonder that is wine. The ability to take that which is created on the earth and to, let's say, improve upon it and to create wines and to create oils that a person can sort of anoint themselves and wash themselves in and cover themselves, bring a holiness and a certain health as well to their life. Yisbe'u atzei Adonai arzei havanon asher nata. Now we're talking about trees, right? Not just about the fields that draw from the water, but let's move on a little bit. Arzei havanon asher nata. The cedars, right? The cedars of Lebanon, right? Which you have planted. What about them? So they may not produce for us. They may not be in the earth for the human being. But asher sham tzipari miikanenu. There, birds make their nests. Chasida beroshim besa. The stork, chasida is a stork. The stork makes the fir tree into its home. It's not for us necessarily. We don't necessarily benefit from their existence. We may not quite grasp what it is, but there is a purpose and a value in that creation as well. Harim hagvoim la yeilim. The high mountains are for the wild animals, for the wild goats. That's where they make their home. Silaim machasel shifanim. The rocks become a refuge, a place of safety and security for the Shvanim. The Shvanim, most in the modern language view as Shafan as the rabbit. It's not exactly the rabbit. It seems to be some sort of another type of little animal that looks like a rabbit, but it's not exactly a rabbit. I actually saw a picture of what this looks like. It's the ability of these little animals to hide in the cracks, in the crevices between large rocks and the small spaces that exist in mountains, right? So, that doesn't benefit me in any way, but it does benefit these animals. And now moving into perhaps a clear understanding, A, as to why this is for Rosh Chodesh, and B, Yom Revi'i, the fourth day of the creation. Asa yareach lamoadim, shemesh yadam mivo'o. He makes the moon for the sake of the seasons and the times, and the sun knows it's going down. Right, the beauty in the creation of the heavenly spheres and the heavenly bodies, the sun and the moon which ebbs and flows and goes larger and goes smaller, the sun which is on its regular flow each and every day up and down, right, to its appointed time, it's an appointed place. The brilliance in that, the great beauty that is in the moon, which is different than the sun, the great beauty that is the sun, which is different and unique from the moon. And how they impact our world, and how the moon draws its light from the sun. All of that is part of the great beauty of the Bria. Tashes choshech v'yihi laila. Then you created darkness, and it becomes night. So what does night do for us? Bosir mos kochaisa yar. That's when all the beasts of the forest creep around. That's when they go out and have the ability to do what they need. Hakfirim shohagim latarif. The young lions roar for their food. They go out to seek out their food, and they ask of their food. Maybe they roar out, and they bellow out their sound for the sake of capturing their food. That's in the nights. Men are doing what they're doing. Human beings are doing, living where they are, and the animals are crawling and creeping around and doing what they need to do at night. And then, Tizrach HaShemesh, Yeyaseifun, Ve'el Ma'onasan, Yirbatsu. That it comes a day, So then you have the sunlight comes, so then they slink away. Those animals go back into their hiding places. They go back into their dens. They couch and crouch and hide back in their places. Man goes out at that point to do his work, to do his bidding, and he labors until evening. But there's clearly a dividing line. It's the animals do their thing in their time, undisturbed, right, and unconnected to humankind. And then there's a time that's for the people. And never the twain really meet until we sort of interrupt each other and we have a problem. We step across each other's boundaries, generally speaking. You have the sense that civilization exists where it exists, the animals exist where they exist, and only on a certain occasion where they mix, or when you have an event like the Makos, right? You have Arov, and you have this sudden multitude of animals coming upon the scene. There's the beauty in the structure and the boundaries and the borders that exist between the heavenly bodies and their interaction then with the physical world in the human beings and the animals. And therefore, in Chaf Dalet, at that point, understanding the heavenly spheres and understanding all those things now, oh, Ma Rabuma Asecha Adonai, how manifold, how wonderful, how great are your creations, the works of your hands. Kulam Bechachma Asisa. All of them have been done with great wisdom. Malaha aretz kinyanecha. The earth is full of your creatures. I see it. I understand it. I get it. I grasp it. How amazing it is. How unbelievable it is. Only now can I really grasp and see it in such a way. Zehayam gadol rechav yodayim. Moving beyond just day four, perhaps into day five, and talking about the waters and the creations. Yishutzu hamayim. Right? That the waters have great depth, literally and metaphorically, to them as well. Rechav yodayim. The water is so grand and so great and so deep. Sham remes ve'ein mispar. Therein are things that are innumerable and uncounted. Chayos ketanos ingadolos. Small and great. Recently there was an article by an oceanographer trying to understand why it is that humankind is so concerned with the outer reaches of space when it is yet to fully explore the greatest depths of the earth. The ability to get to the bottoms of the ocean, the creations that exist down there we have yet to meet and yet to know. Sham anios yahalechun in Chavav in 26. There you have boats. Ships go there. But also, Livyoson yatzarta l'sachekbo. You have therein the Leviathan, the greatest of great fish, the largest of the large that was created there to exist and to have sport. The great explanation of the Leviathan is beyond the scope of today, but you get the grasp idea. You have perhaps the human creation that exists on the water, and you have the physical animal that you, Hashem, have created directly that is the greatest depth of the water. Kula melecha yisaberun lases ochlam bi'ito. All of them wait for you, Hashem, that you can give them their food in their due season and their due time. Titein lahem yilkotun. You give it to them and they gather it. Tiftach yodecha yisbun tov. You open up your hand, poiseach es yodecha, right? You open up your hand, and yisbun tov, they are satisfied with good. Tastir panecha yibahaleyun. You hide yourself away, they vanish. Tosef rucham yigvaun. You withdraw your breath. Velaf ram yishivun. And then they perish and they return to the dust. Right now it's sort of moving into the day six, perhaps, into the creation of the human being, the human spirit. What happens? Literally, we always say, Hashem giveth, Hashem taketh away. God gives and God takes back. He's the one who provides and he's the one who can unprovide, quote unquote. I'm not sure that that's a word. But when you hide Hashem, everything vanishes. When you remove the ruach, the breath, everything perishes and it returns to dust. But tishalach ruchacha yibareyun, right? But if you return in verse 30, if you send back the spirit, the wind, literally, but really more the spirit, then it's recreated and it's brought back. Usechadesh pnei ha'adamah. Then it is renewed in each and every way, each and every season. We see it in the world, but even in the largest sense, in the end of days, we'll have that as well. Hamabil la'aretz batirad yiga beharim ve'yasanu. You look upon the earth and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they smoke like that in an instant, in a flash. It's all back. It all shifts. It all moves. Ashira l'Adonai b'chayai, azamra l'Elohai b'odi. I will sing to Hashem as long as I live. Azamra l'Elohai b'odi. I will sing praises. Not just sing songs, but I will sing praises. There's a difference between Ashira and Azamra. B'odi. While I have any being, while I'm still in extant state. Ye'arav elav sichi. Right? Let my words, right, for him and about him, be sweet for him. Anochi esmach by the night, I will rejoice in Hashem. And then in the end of the day, when all of that which is evil in the world will be destroyed and disparate and removed from the world, and there's no longer Rishayim around, Barchi Nafshis Adonai, right, I will offer again the blessing from my soul, Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the combination of Shevech and Hoda at the same time, the sense of praise and the sense of thanks each and every moment. In the end of the day, when it all returns to being, when the human condition is completed and we fully grasp the Brias HaOlam, so then it is that I can offer up the full-on prayer that is the Barchi Nafshi. So it serves as this awesome and unbelievably exciting and sublime vision of the Brias HaOlam and the interactivity in the Brias HaOlam, and it's sort of beautifully set up for Rosh Chodesh, that it establishes us a new month, a new time. So you have the notion of Mu'adim and the Yareach there, the moon and the seasons. But at the same time, it's a renewal in the Bria, and a sense of appreciation again, anew, about all that is created. We continue tomorrow with Kufei, with Mizmor 105.